Before world leaders convened on Copenhagen in hopes of striking a deal on climate change, a different international summit wrapped up last week in Cartagena, Colombia, to review the international convention banning the use of landmines. In late November, the Obama administration announced the United States was not joining the 10-year-old international mine ban treaty, and then it backtracked a day later, saying a review of the treaty was still ongoing. We are joined now by Jody Williams, whose work on eradicating landmines won her and her organization the Nobel Peace Prize in 1997. Welcome to our show.
Well, I'm glad to be here. Thanks a lot. We just got home from Cartagena last night.
And were people talking about what the Obama administration had announced, that it wasn't joining the treaty, and then its reversal, of course, a day later?
Oh, you can imagine that it was a big point of interest at the conference, sure. The U.S. at the same time had sent its first observer delegation to such a meeting. There are meetings held every year to assess the treaty, but this was a big one that happens every 5 years to review the status of the treaty and the way forward. So to have a U.S. delegation there, you know, on the heels of the flip-flop policy of Mr. Obama, they were certainly, people were wanting to talk to them, and they were in lots of discussions about policy, what it really is for Mr. Obama.
In an opinion piece in the Los Angeles Times, you call the State Department's backtracking a, quote, weak attempt at damage control that is hardly credible. So you don't think the administration will arrive at a different conclusion when the review is completed?
I wish that I could be more optimistic, but I'm a little bit concerned. I guess I'd have to say more than a little bit, given the op-ed. I believe that if nobody had protested after trying to slip the information through in a, you know, regular daily State Department briefing right before Thanksgiving, when everybody's mind is on other things, if there hadn't been an outcry, if Senator Leahy from the state of Vermont hadn't sent rather harsh statement out to the press on it, and others who've been working on the Hill on banning landmines, that it would have stood. But, you know, they were caught with a firestorm that they did not expect, so they had to backtrack.
Senator Leahy said that this was a regurgitation of the Bush administration's talking points.
Exactly. It's rather startling. I found it particularly upsetting because Mr. Obama claims that he wants to lead the world on disarming us of nuclear weapons and then can't even give up landmines. That makes no sense. We haven't even used them for 18 years. Especially when there are 156 nations in the world that are part of this treaty, when the treaty has moved forward in an amazing way over the years. Implementation's been terrific. Compliance has been terrific. I don't understand, to be honest.
Well, what are the Bush administration talking points that the Obama administration is continuing to espouse?
Well, at this point, they're continuing. Now they want us to believe that they're going to actually have a transparent and open review, which is what we've called for from the beginning of the Obama administration. Well, they keep saying things like needing alternatives. They have pointed out, in their view, the very important need to keep mines in the DMZ between the North and the South as a deterrent if there were an attack from the North, and that, you know, we have to protect. The statement said something to the effect that for national defense and for protecting civilians and soldiers around the world, our soldiers, of course, we need landmines. And in my view, that's pure bunk.
Do we still produce, export, or use landmines in military operations? Because the United States argues that it has been in de facto compliance with the treaty for 18 years.
Yes. That's one of the points we use to express our confusion about why they haven't signed. The last time the U.S. used the weapon was in the first Gulf War, 91. Under Senator Leahy, we stopped exporting in 92. We haven't produced since 97. We've even destroyed 3 million of, you know, stockpiled landmines. We still have 10 million. I think it's the third biggest stockpile in the world. But given that, it makes no sense whatsoever that President Obama just doesn't say that we're signing the treaty. Move forward. We've lived without him for 18 years. what's going to change now? And we have been involved in a variety of low-intensity and high-intensity warfare, so it really is confusing.
I'm talking with Jody Williams about the United States and the International Mine Ban Treaty. This is WNYC, WNYC.org. I'm Leonard Lopate. It gets more and more contradictory. 2 weeks ago, Ian Kelly, a State Department spokesman, noted that the United States is the world's single largest financial supporter of humanitarian mine action, having provided more than $1.5 billion since 1993 to support mine clearance and destruction of conventional weapons. So the United States has done some positive things on landmines, hasn't it?
Yes, it has. We've always applauded them for that. But the purpose of this whole movement, and by this whole movement, I mean the movement to ban landmines, was recognizing that the only way to ultimately deal with the problem was to get rid of the weapon entirely. It's indiscriminate. It cannot tell the difference between the soldier and the civilian. And under already existing law, that is discounting the Mine Ban Treaty itself, weapons that cannot discriminate are illegal. So they should sign the treaty.
We totally applaud
the money. There's no question about it. It's awesome. But it's more awesome if you lead the world instead of leading from the rear and not complying with the treaty completely and joining it.
We have 10 million landmines in our stockpile. Where would we even use them?
Well, in theory, according to the State Department statement, we'd use them to protect our soldiers and civilians around the world. That could indicate, for example, we go into Afghanistan with a 30,000 troop surge, maybe we use them there. And note the question in my voice, because Afghanistan has signed and ratified this treaty. It's destroyed its stockpiles. Same with Iraq. Are we going to use them there? I hope the hell not, because Iraq has signed this treaty. It just doesn't make sense for the U.S.
How many countries in the world are estimated to currently have landmines buried in their soil?
70.
And,
70. But a lot of them have mine clearance programs underway. In fact, at the conference, we were thrilled when four more states declared themselves mine-free, meaning they had cleaned up the mines in their ground and they were moving forward. And that was Zambia, Rwanda, Greece, and Albania. So that was great news.
Well, landmines have been used, I'm assuming, since World War I.
And that was the development stage, yeah.
And are some of them still buried in some parts of the world?
Once
a landmine is placed in the ground, how difficult is it to remove it?
It really depends on the terrain. I think people have, and I know I did when I started the campaign, visions of, you know, the big minefields of World War II that you'd see on movies. That's not how most minefields in the world are. They are unmarked. They are not laid in any particular order. Think about Cambodia, where when we started work there, 50% of the national territories had landmines in them somewhere. They were in schoolyards. They're in paths to the schools. They're in water banks. They're in wells. They're everywhere. And it's jungle territory. Imagine trying to find them and demine. It's a very difficult and, you know, arduous task. Cambodia being one of the worst, Afghanistan with lots of mines still. Where else? Angola, just in Colombia. It has quite a few mines because the guerrilla forces, or the narcos, as some people would prefer to call them these days, use landmines to protect their crops. Despite the fact that Colombia itself, to its great credit, the government has signed this treaty.
It sounds to me like your dog has found something that was hidden somewhere.
That is Sophie, the white German Shepherd. She's beautiful. You can see her online. She did. She found a ball.
Well, the United
trying to get me to play with her.
The United States hasn't signed the treaty. What are some of the other countries that haven't? Any real prominent ones?
Sure. China, Russia, India, Pakistan, each for different reasons. Russia, along with Burma, Myanmar, they're the only two countries in the world that have consistently continued to use mines since the Mine Ban Treaty. Russia, we're pretty sure they use them in Chechnya. Burma does use them. Both the forces fighting the Burmese military dictatorship as well as the government itself. So those two keep using. China has surprised me a lot, actually. They were not in favor of the treaty at all, but quite a few years ago, they stopped production of landmines, stopped exporting. Even if they weren't quite prepared to sign the treaty, they were understanding of the stigmatization of the weapon. They didn't want to contribute to chaos in the world, so they stopped producing and stopped exporting. They've also given money and training for mine clearance, which is, to me, a clear demonstrator of how stigmatized the weapon is in the world and that countries don't want to be seen as using these weapons.
So who,
the ones I mentioned.
So who is producing them these days if the United States and China aren't?
Israel produces, Vietnam. No, I have another expert here in the room who happens to be my husband, and not wait, I'm getting some input. Not Israel anymore? Who produces? See, we're making this a family affair. Israel's one of the non-state parties that has stopped production.
Mm-hmm.
So not many.
Well,
we're down to, I think, 13 countries in the world that produce or that retain the right to produce. Not all of them even produce now. They just haven't forsworn it forever.
You mentioned that for the first time, the United States sent observers to a gathering of states that have accepted the treaty.
Mm-hmm.
Did those observers contribute anything to the conference?
Oh, sure. We commend the United States on the huge amount of support it has given for mine action and mine clearance. I actually felt bad for the delegation there. They expected to be really beaten up on the flip-flop on U.S. policy. I think that we were actually quite kind and forgiving. And it turned out to be a useful conversation, not just about the good things they've done on mine action, victim assistance, but a useful conversation in making them understand finally what they really need to do if they want to do a credible review of this treaty and overturn Bush's policy and join the treaty. So that's constructive. I think it's great, and we'll see what happens as we continue to dialogue with them, the guys that were there, but then press Obama himself to step up to the plate and follow the treaty the U.S. has been actually following for the last 18 years.
I'm going to close with a rather indiscreet question. President Obama is traveling to Oslo on Wednesday to pick up his Nobel Peace Prize. Would you have voted to give him the award?
No, I wouldn't. I'm not going to lie. I think it's premature. I think that he was given the prize for vision. Vision is terrific, but vision without action, I think, is more harmful than saying nothing at all. And I talked to the committee quite a few times, actually, over the years since receiving the prize, and they've recognized the difficulty of giving, of recognizing someone who's a sitting head of state with the prize because of the possibilities of war, obviously. So when they decided on Obama, it confused some of us quite a bit because he's not just a sitting president with the possibility of war. He's a sitting president in the midst of two wars. So to have a man who, you know, be on the verge of receiving the prize who just announced his own surge in Afghanistan, I just have to say is very upsetting.
I want to thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Jody Williams, Nobel Peace Laureate. We've been talking about the United States and the International Mine Ban Treaty.